from London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Trinidad government reacts cautiously to calls to intervene in the dispute between travel agents and British and American Airlines. Belizean Prime Minister breaks his silence on Michael Ashcroft. And more questions about the banned hormone nandrolone as other athletes join Otti and Christie on the list. I'm Orin Gordon, and this is BBC Caribbean Report. Caribbean travel agents have been told that they cannot expect government intervention in their ticket war with American Airlines and British Airways. The two carriers have been targeted for being the first to cut their commissions by a third, from 9 to 6%. Delta, Air Jamaica, and Continental have followed in a move the agents say could put them out of business. On our sister program, BBC Caribbean Magazine, this morning, the president of the Caribbean Travel Agents Association, Wayne Rodriguez, made an impassioned appeal for government help.
I am also asking the relative governments throughout the Caribbean to sit up and take notes. Here you have these multinationals coming into your country, presuming to bring investment, but literally they take out more than they actually put in. The governments of the region have given these airlines concessions. In fact, American Airlines have been paid millions of dollars by Antigua, St. Lucia, and Grenada to operate into their country, just to have a flight coming in and out of their country. In Trinidad and Tobago, American Eagle flies into Tobago without paying any landing fees.
Wayne Rodriguez, the proposal before the Trinidad and Tobago government was to get all incoming airlines to guarantee the agents 9%. Tony Fraser spoke with the Transport Minister Sadiq Baksh, and he got a less than encouraging response.
Minister Baksh says the agents have argued that the Venezuelan government has adopted a policy requiring airlines to guarantee the 9% commission. Minister Baksh says his government cannot support the present boycott imposed by the agents on booking flights on American and British Airways. He says it's in the best interests of Trinidad and Tobago and the rest of the region to have as many large airlines flying in and out of the Caribbean. And Minister Baksh says the government is not at this time in a position to dictate to the airlines.
I certainly do not want to see a situation where American Airlines or British Airways or any other major carriers stop their flights to and from this country or any other country in the region. Similarly, I do not want a situation where our business people are at the whims of any foreign organization and subject to arbitrary, unfair, or unjust treatment.
But Minister Baksh says he's committed to holding talks with the airline agents to listen to their proposals. He says he has already met with the country's representative of American Airlines. The representative, he says, outlined American Airlines' business position and its desire to continue flying into Piako and continue with the American Eagle on the Tobago route. I put it to Minister Baksh if this means that the airline agents will simply have to learn to live with the 6% and should not count on government's direct intervention on their behalf.
We are not at that stage yet. We are committed to holding discussions with the Travel Agents Association. Its president did seek a meeting with the ministry, and we have since made arrangements for them to meet with the Ministry of Transport. We have not met yet.
But the transport minister is realistic enough to note that with American and British Airways not willing to budge from their position, it could mean that the smaller, weaker airline agency could be forced into closing shop. The minister said he has been told that one small agency here has already closed down its operations. Tony Fraser in Port of Spain for BBC Caribbean Report.
A former prime minister of Grenada says Keith Mitchell's inclusion of a prominent opposition member in his cabinet is nothing but an attempt to neutralize the opposition. Ben Jones, prime minister for 3 months in 1989 and 1990, is unimpressed with Dr. Mitchell's appointment of another former leader, George Brazan, as a political advisor. Prime Minister Mitchell has total control of the 15-member assembly. He says bringing Mr. Brazan in is an act of reconciliation and peace. I suggested to Ben Jones that it was to be applauded.
First of all, George has been a prime minister, and he's been the leader of the main opposition party here now. And his whole political thrust has been against the government, and the government has wanted to silence his party. And I've seen nothing about the behavior pattern of this government and the attitude of the government by way of expressions to convince me that the Prime Minister is genuinely concerned about bringing the opposition into his party. In fact, everything has pointed to a situation where the Prime Minister is intent upon neutralizing all of the opposition forces in the country.
Dr. Mitchell may argue that he doesn't need to neutralize the opposition because he's already done so at the ballot box.
While that is true that he won all the seats, it is also true that there is growing dissent in the country and dissatisfaction. It is quite possible in the next elections the opposition can make a pretty strong showing. If at this stage, while the opposition is without representation in Parliament, the Prime Minister can neutralize all of the opposition parties to the extent that there is no effective leadership available to them, then that would be one positive way of ensuring that come elections, whenever they do, there's nobody or no party capable of challenging him.
An outsider may accuse you of lacking generosity of spirit. He doesn't need to do this. He's got total control of the House. He's bringing opposition members in. They might conclude that's a good thing.
If I were satisfied, if I were convinced that it was for the sake of bringing the opposition in and giving them a say in government, I would have applauded it. I would have thought that it was a very good thing. But I am not so satisfied. You don't have to go to the leadership of the party if you're genuinely concerned about allowing the other side to be heard or to enjoy some of the benefits in the country. You would go right down the line.
So if the call came from the Prime Minister, I want you in my government, would you say yes or no?
Me? I would want to find out in what kind of capacity and on what condition and, you know, a lot of things before I said yes or no. Let me put it this way. The Prime Minister and I served in the same government, Herbert Blaise's government. And I've had an opportunity to see the Prime Minister in operation. While I accept that there's genuineness everywhere, and the Prime Minister is my very good friend, I like him. Yet, looking at the Prime Minister in politics, I will need a lot of convincing about the genuineness of such an offer.
Ben Jones, a former Prime Minister of Grenada. Caribbean ministers responsible for trade and development are reporting a breakthrough in their goal of creating the region's first ever single market. Delegates reached agreement on important issues that should now make it easier for heads to ratify the agreement. Colin Smith reports.
At yesterday's meeting, Caribbean ministers responsible for trade and development received two important protocols from the intergovernmental task forces, one on dispute settlement, the other on competition policy. These protocols complete the establishment of the legal framework for the setting up of the Caribbean single market and economy. They should be signed by regional heads of government at their next meeting in March. The ministers also spent much of their time discussing issues in the services sector, in particular telecommunications, e-commerce, and intellectual property rights. They decided to convene in the near future a special one-day consultation on these topics. CARICOM's Director of Information and Communications, Ms. Jackie Ford, explained.
There was need for development of a regional policy on intellectual property rights, and that it was therefore agreed that the need for consultations to be undertaken on the manner in which member states could be assisted in meeting their obligations under the TRIPS should be brought to attention of the RNM, and that to establish a working party to examine the issues concerning intellectual property rights in the region and develop a regional regime for intellectual property rights as required under Protocol 3.
Mr. Randolph Cato of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States also reported that members of that group were currently involved in a process that would soon lead to the end of monopolies in the provision of telecommunication services in the OECS. The major dispute settlement mechanism in the form of the Caribbean Court of Justice is soon to come on stream. CARICOM Secretary General Mr. Edwin Carrington said this morning that the next crucial step in the move towards the establishment of a Caribbean single market is the implementation of the protocol which deals with the provision of services, the movement of capital, and the right of establishment. It has been agreed that by June 30, crucial negotiations between states on the dismantling of restrictions will begin. Colin Smith in Georgetown, Guyana for BBC Caribbean Report.
The Belizean Prime Minister Said Musa has spoken for the first time about the country's controversial ambassador to the United Nations, Michael Ashcroft. It was as the treasurer of Britain's opposition Conservative Party that searching questions were asked of the business dealings of Mr. Ashcroft in a period of intense coverage in the British press last year. He sued the Times of London but settled out of court when the newspaper confirmed that it has no evidence that he or any of his companies have ever been suspected of drug trafficking or money laundering. The episode has been damaging for Belize, which is portrayed as a banana republic that condones questionable business practices. The government has stuck by Mr. Ashcroft, even though he's been quoted as saying that he'll give up his Belizean job to focus on serving the Tories. I spoke with Mr. Musa by telephone from Mexico.
As far as I know, Mr. Ashcroft is carrying out his duties in New York at the United Nations, and we have no reason to question that status at this time.
A lot of damage, though, Prime Minister, has been done to the name of Belize over this affair. Shouldn't you cut your losses, say you've done a terrific job for us, but we can't afford to keep you on for this reason?
Internal British politics has come into play on this issue. We seek not to get involved at all in this matter. All that Belize is trying to do is to project itself, to promote investments, to promote good cordial relations with all nations of the world, and to maintain our very special relationship with the British government. And I have no reason to feel that that relationship has been threatened or jeopardized in any way whatsoever.
You see, Prime Minister, you may be keeping a distance from the matter, but the matter isn't keeping a distance from you. The press portrayals of Belize, the more this matter has been reported, have been very unkind, and
they have done the country some
damage.
I agree with you on that I think the British press has been very unkind to Belize as a way of getting at the ambassador.
I said the portrayals were unkind.
Yes, most unkind. I entirely agree with you, and I think this is clearly unjustified, and I would hope that the British press, would confine its attack, so to speak, to the issue that they may want to raise without in any way trying to denigrate the good name of Belize.
What kind of special skills does he bring to the job of UN ambassador?
Well, Mr. Ashcroft is a very talented businessman, a very, as far as we are concerned, knowledgeable person on international matters. So we are very satisfied with the work that he's been doing.
From his point of view, is he first a Belizean or first a Briton?
He is both, I would think. He's under our constitution, you're allowed to have dual nationality. He's a British-born person. He spent his early years in our country, attended primary school in Belize, and he's maintained his attachment with Belize. So, yes, he's a Belizean as well.
Belizean Prime Minister Said Musa. Serious doubts have again been raised about the testing of the drug Nandrolone following yet another positive test result from a high-profile athlete. The British 400-meter sprinter Mark Richardson produced urine samples showing traces of the banned drug. He'll now join a list of stars from the track and field world who say they're innocent. Emma Joseph reports.
The banned substance, Nandrolone, has been at the center of unprecedented controversy in athletics over the last year. Browse through the list of athletes who've tested positive for it, and some of the best names in the industry are there. The British sprinters, Dougie Walker, and the Olympic 100 meters champion, Linford Christie, found themselves testing positive for the drug early last year. Then, just as the sporting world was preparing to redeem itself at the World Athletics Championships, one of the stars of the track, Merline Otte, found out that she too tested positive for Nandrolone. Otte claimed that it was a terrible mistake, but the damage to her reputation was already done. She was forced to take an early exit from the championships. At the same time, the Bermuda-born sprinter, Troy Douglas, was thrown off the Dutch team for the same offence. Now Mark Richardson, who is Britain's fastest runner in the 400 metres, admitted to being the latest star to test positive for Nandrolone, an anabolic steroid and performance-enhancing drug. In response to the sudden surge in positive tests for the drug, some countries, like the UK, set up a 20-man committee to probe the drug in September last year. Nandrolone is said to have the effect of promoting muscle and bone development, raising questions that it could be taken innocently in many supplements used by athletes. All the athletes concerned have vehemently pleaded not guilty, and a number have subsequently been found innocent. Dougie Walker and Linford Christie were both cleared by the UK Athletics Federation, as has Merline Otte by the Jamaican equivalent, the JAF. But the International Amateur Athletics Federation still doesn't recognise the findings.
That report was by Emma Joseph. In London, the office of Prince Charles has released details of the itinerary of his visit to the Caribbean later this month. The Prince of Wales is scheduled to visit Trinidad and Tobago, Guyana, and Jamaica. Besides a short stopover as a naval officer many years ago, his only previous visit to the Commonwealth Caribbean was in 1969. That's BBC Caribbean Report. I'm Orin Gordon saying goodbye from London.